Don't just pray. Keep a prayer journal. Define your dream. Claim your promise. Spell your miracle. Right. I was like, well, that's a sermon right there.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
It was just like, So.
Can I get an amen? Hi, Onyx fam. Welcome to the Onyx Life, where change comes with challenge. Every episode, we take you on a journey, moving you from the struggle life to the Onyx life, creating happy homes, financial empires, and exploring the lighter side of life. My name is Murthel.
And I'm Rita. Today, we're going to be talking about The Circle Maker. The Circle Maker is a book written by Pastor Mark Batterson. It is a book that is changing my life. It truly is. It is something that I started reading, and I said to my kids and my husband, you guys have to read this book. Now, I've had this book suggested to me by Amazon. I cannot tell you how long. And I don't know why. I've just kind of skipped over it for something else. And not that I didn't have a problem with it. It wasn't like it was compelling, but I didn't really understand what is the circle maker. I really didn't get it. And so much in the online business, because you know, I'm always dropping things about online business. Mm-hmm. You know that when you're online, a thumbnail and a title is everything. That's what's going to get people in. It's like your storefront. It's your packaging. So I didn't know what a circle maker was, so I just kind of skipped over it. So I don't remember exactly why I downloaded this book, because what I did was I did buy the book and then I left it in my Kindle for weeks on end, which is very normal for me. I buy lots of Kindle books. When I go shopping for my books, I get probably like 10 at a time.
So you had this?
I had this for a while, I didn't. I know. And it's just like, I can't believe this. But let me tell you the setup to what led me to start reading it. So we had done a podcast last Friday that it came out, and it was called Do You Believe in Miracles? And so when it came out, we were like, you know, we want to do some of the things we talked about. We talked about George Mueller. We talked about how he prayed, and when he prayed with his orphans when they had no food, and they set the table and there was no food on the plate, but they blessed the food that was coming anyway. And then the doorbell rang. Well, I don't even know if there was a doorbell at the time, but then someone knocked on the door. And they got milk, and then they knocked on the door again and they got bread, and it was just like food. And so I decided to do some research on him, and I saw that he said that 50,000 specific prayers of his have been answered. 50,000. Mm. So he said, I know what I do. And this is what he, I guess, had done in an interview, not like the way we do interviews now, but I guess, you know, someone talking to him. And he said that he kept a journal, and on one side he dated his prayer that he, and he wrote out his prayer, and then on the other side, he wrote the answer and the date to his prayer. So I went out the next day after we did the Sunday after we did the podcast, and I bought everybody in the house a journal. I was like, guys, let's be bold about this. Now, we already had vision boards. Right. So I was like, well, why do you need a prayer journal as well? Because
and we also had, over the course of a few years, we'd do this thing where we'd put some answered prayers in a jar, or prayers in a jar, Thanksgiving prayers in a jar. And at the end of the year, the idea was that we go through that jar and we take out those answered prayers and we kind of read them to remind ourselves. But the thing about that is, the challenging thing is that it could get lost.
Which ours did.
And ours did.
We moved. It got lost. And it was the first thing that was packed. And yet,
we still lost it.
It is. I don't understand it. Could not
find it anywhere. And that's the thing. It's because like all these small little pieces of paper, you know, it adds up. So we were thinking, okay, let's get this journal, because with this journal, we can really keep it in a safe place. All of our prayers that are answered, we can have it all recorded and documented. Right. And it's just easy to go through.
Right. A vision board changes. It grows. It's more colorful. And it's very pleasant to think about in that way. But a prayer journal is just more organized. And it is just lists. And I think it's just a very easy way. You could carry it with you, you know? So I said, let's all get that. Let's all do this. So I did that. And everyone was like, that's great. That's great. But then the next day, I was in my Kindle, and I can jump from book to book. And then sometimes a book will just compel me and I'm like, okay, this is the one I want to read. So I started jumping from book to book, and then I said, you know what, let me read this. What's this Circle Maker about? And I opened it, and immediately I started highlighting. And it was like, whoa, I don't think I've ever highlighted a book so fast and so much in just even the first chapter.
Well, you need to like give the people some nuggets, like some good sort of like little bits and pieces of why it inspired you so much.
So the legend of the Circle Maker, and I say legend, but he was actually real. It was first century BC, and which was a generation before Jesus. And during this time, the last of the Jewish prophets had died nearly 400 years ago. So at that time, I guess, for the people, it was a dry season of miracles. And it wasn't just a dry season of miracles, it was literally a dry season.
Right. In fact, that is a large era of biblical history that we don't really have
you
much
don't
record.
Have, right?
I mean, we do have like the Maccabean Revolt and
right.
a few things,
but
nothing
not in the
with
Bible.
Prophets. Nothing right. in the Bible, and nothing with the great prophets that that were a part of the canon.
Right, right. And when I say Bible, I mean
the canon.
The canon. Right, right. right.
Not the Apocrypha
right,
and other
exactly.
sacred books. Yeah.
So there was a man, his name was Honi, and I could be, you know what, it would be Hanai, wouldn't it? Like in Jewish, the Hebrew language. Anyway, he was known, I guess, in the book, he's described as an eccentric sage who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem. But he would pray, and what he did was, during this drought, he decided he was going to take his staff and he was going to draw a circle. He drew a circle around him, and then when he was finished, he stood inside the circle and he raised his hands and he said, "Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children." And this was prayed with such confidence that it is said that the words made the crowd gasp. And that they were just stunned that he would call on the name of the Lord with such a direct prayer. So what happened, they said, next was that raindrops started falling. But it was a sprinkle, just a sprinkle. So still, in that circle, he kneeled and said, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns." So then the sprinkle turned into torrential rain. It is said that the rain was as large as eggs, each drop. That was not what he prayed for. He said, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness." Hmm. And then the rain slowed down to a nice gentle rain, a soothing rain. And of course, everybody was just in awe, and it was an answered prayer. And so Mark Batterson, he's saying that the same way that Hanai was able, or Honi, mm-hmm. I get stuck on names. The same
Hanai,
way,
that's fine.
Okay. The same way that he drew a circle and said, "Lord, this is where I stand. This is where I stay until this prayer is answered." He said, "This is how we need to pray in our lives." So one of the first things I highlighted, which I thought was just amazing, was that bold prayers honor God and God honors bold prayers.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
That is just awesome. And it you know, it's interesting. They didn't put it a part of the canon, a lot of these stories, but there were clearly great people during this era
right.
that we could write about and that we could be inspired by. And this certainly is one of them. And just him being an example of definitely that God does answer bold prayers. I mean, mm-hmm. we, you know, and if we went into the sacred scripture, we would also add to that Elijah, who called down for rain.
That's exactly who he compared right. him to.
Who called Elijah. Down for rain. And he might have been even inspired by Elijah.
That's right.
To do that. And, but, you know, of course, if you're writing a book, sometimes you have to come up with a new character because, you know.
But he mentions Elijah. Mm-hmm. He does. Basically, they said he did it in the spirit of Elijah.
Right.
So he said, God is not offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't possible to you, they are insulting to God.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they don't require divine intervention. But God asks, this is the thing. He said, ask God to part the Red Sea or make the sun stand still or float an iron axe head, and God is moved to omnipotent action. There is nothing God loves more than keeping promises and answering prayers, performing miracles and fulfilling dreams.
Mm.
And so what I got from that was that when you pray these little, Lord, please help, you know, me to wake up on time. It's like, okay, that's great. It's a miracle right. that you wake up.
Right.
You know, but your alarm.
We're not belittling
that. Right. But your alarm went off too. And so maybe you could say, well, the alarm went off. Maybe I went to bed early.
But you know what?
You know?
What I find is that if I tell myself I really need to wake up and I don't have an alarm, I don't understand this phenomenon. But all I know is that I will wake up to the minute of when I say I want to wake up. What's that about?
I mean, there's that phenomenon. But I'm saying that when we can make things a coincidence, you know? Right,
That's crazy, you know, man.
Help my boss to notice me at work. Well, maybe your boss said, good job. It's not big. It's not bold. He's talking about like Hanai praying for rain after a drought.
Right.
A drought.
Something big. Putting himself out there and others seeing him and potentially could call him crazy.
And not but being satisfied with a sprinkle.
Right.
And not being satisfied by flooding. They said that the torrential rain was so bad, they had to flee and get up to the hills. It's like, no. This is not what I wanted. But, you know, that's very bold.
Right.
It's very bold. So I was already feeling like, whoa, okay, I have my journal here. I need to start thinking about some bold prayers.
Right.
I don't know what kind of prayers.
Those are the prayers.
I felt like I was already going to do that, but I felt so affirmed.
But those are the prayers that I like. And part of the reason why I've come to like prayers like that is because I don't want to feel as though I was the one that accomplished something, whatever it is that I was wanting to achieve. I like the feeling. I really, really like the feeling of knowing that God has stepped in and he has moved mountains on my behalf. And so I like to pray prayers that I know that I don't have the natural ability to make it happen.
Yes.
It's just very faith affirming.
Well, definitely. He said, I'm confident that you are only one prayer away from a dream fulfilled, a promise kept, or a miracle performed. That is just such a beautiful thought. A beautiful thought to think that you're just one prayer away. And he says, if you don't believe that God is for you, then you're going to pray small, timid prayers. If you do believe it, then you'll pray big, audacious prayers. And one way or another, your small, timid prayers or big, audacious prayers will change the trajectory of your life and turn you into two totally different people. This is where I was like, whoa. Okay, check this out. This is what he said. Prayers are prophecies. They are the best predictors of your spiritual future. Who you become is determined by how you pray. Right. Ultimately, the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life.
That's a big thing.
That's a big concept right there.
That's a big concept. Right. Right.
Wow.
Because, and that's why it's so critical for us to write down our prayers, because how many times has God come through in like miraculous ways, but we have forgotten?
So many ways.
So many times. I'm telling you, when I look back at my life and the prayers that I have prayed, I think the most unfortunate thing is not that God has not answered them, but that it has been so many that I have gotten accustomed to forgetting. And I think that the intentionality of writing it down will only benefit our own lives, because it will give us a reference point as to how consistent God really is.
I pray, though, that it doesn't just impact my life. Just like, and we're going to get into this later, the prayers don't have a expiration date. they go off and we'll talk about what happens with prayers. But for me, I pray that my journal will pass down through the generations.
Right. Like one of those things that you can pass on, like a family Bible, mm-hmm. or, you know, an heirloom, some type of...
200 years from now, someone will go, what is this iPhone? You know, like what is she talking about? You know, right, I don't know. Right, some right. kind of something I referred to in there, you know, I don't know. When I'm reading this book, I'm just like, yes, yes, okay, okay. So what he's saying is draw prayer circles around your life.
Right.
And how you start is you discern what God wants and what God wills. So what you desire needs to align with his will. Mm-hmm. Because he's saying that, you know, he doesn't tell you what's going to happen. He doesn't tell you what you need in the sense where he's trying to control your life, because God is all about free will.
Right.
Free will. So he wants us to, live a life. His will. Right. Live a life that's within his will. And when right. it's in his will, just, you know, ask for it.
Right.
Believe that what the blessings that God has in line for you are for you.
Like the story of Joseph, where God gives you the dream and then he fulfills the dream. So, I mean, just absolutely remarkable. A kid that comes from the field, just a shepherd's boy, who then becomes pretty much a second man in command of an entire nation. In fact, an empire in Egypt. But the dream was given to him by God, and then the dream was fulfilled by God. Mm-hmm. And he was audacious enough to believe that dream and told everybody that he possibly could tell about that dream. And so I think the same is true. Rather than us, like, pay attention to your dreams, first of all. Pay attention to your passions. Pay attention to your interests. Pay attention to the things that have been given to you that are big ideas, big concepts. Because those passions, those giftedness, those inner qualities, those things are all coming from God. But what we do have sometimes a tendency to do is we have a tendency to try to create our own dreams and make our own dreams fulfilled.
That's right.
And you know, and a lot of times if they don't align with God's divine will, then they either will be short-lived or they will not come to fruition.
That's right. That's right. So he tells the story of this property that he wanted, and he happened to have been reading Joshua. This is how he started to make the connection with Hanai and Jericho and his own life. And mm-hmm. he talks about this property, and he was reading Joshua. And he, of course, for those who may not know the story of how Jericho was won. Mm-hmm. Can you tell them about Jericho? Yeah,
and of course, the story of Jericho and Joshua and how the children of Israel, they were going to the promised land. And of course, by the time they got there, they had to go through so many, you know, hoops and hurdles. But when they finally got to the city, what ended up happening was that the walls were so huge and they were so big. And they were like the types of, sort of like those double walls. And they didn't have, you know, some of even the weaponry of warfare of the time. The top, the battering rams and, you know, and things that would hurtle big stones in the air to nick away at the walls, or, you know, setting walls on fire with huge, you know, huge fire throwers, mm-hmm. and all these things that were the typical thing. They had none of that. All they had was literally a trumpet and people, like instruments, musical instruments. And in the story, how it was told is that they were instructed by God to just walk around the city in a circle. And as they walked around that city in a circle,
once a day for 6 days.
Yeah.
And then on the seventh day,
they have to walk around it seven times. Mm-hmm. And then on the seventh time, blow the trumpet and shout, and the walls will come down. That was the big strategy plan. Walk in a circle.
And don't say a word.
Don't say a word. Just mm-hmm. Inner prayer in your heart to God. Mm-hmm. Just let God do everything. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, shout.
Now,
shout for joy, shout for praise, shout for victory, because then the walls will come down.
And so this kind of gets into one of his key things that he talks about is sometimes faith makes you look foolish. He's saying that, think about it. These are people who are like, we're going to win doing what now? we're just gonna walk in a circle. I don't know about that. They could just, what, okay, we're gonna walk in the circle. What about if an army's waiting for us? What about they drop something on us from the wall? We're gonna look, can you imagine the teenagers? I don't want to walk in a circle. Like, this is I'm going to look so uncool. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, honestly, could you imagine how they felt? And he's talking about how, okay, imagine how they felt. They looked foolish. Now imagine Noah building an ark when it's never rained. Imagine, what was the
Elijah
other
one? Elijah calling down rain.
Imagine David going towards Goliath with just a slingshot. He said, there's story after story after story.
Of the impossible.
Of not just the impossible, but people who looked foolish to everybody else.
Right.
Just foolish. I know for me, when I decided I was not going to go to med school, I was not going to pursue that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was not going to do the medical company. When I wasn't going to do that. When I decided, I'm going to be a YouTuber. I mean, it was just unheard of in our circles.
Right. In our circles, sure.
Like, what? Education is everything in our circles.
That's right.
Everything.
And if you're going to be successful, it will not come any other way but through education.
Not even entrepreneurship.
No.
Everything is about education. All about
education and then,
what degree do you have? Like, mm-hmm.
Are you a doctor? Are you an engineer? Are you a this? You
know? I stopped. Mirthal and I both stopped a doctorate program.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, no, this is not going to give us anything but more debt. We decided this is what we're going to do. And to the rest of the world who are all our friends and our family, we looked utterly foolish.
Right.
But God, because...
Another thing, we looked utterly foolish when we were homeschooling our kids. When we decided that we were going to homeschool our kids and do that, not just in elementary, not just for kindergarten, but then elementary, not just elementary, but... middle school, not just middle school, high school. And we ended up homeschooling our kids the entire time that they were in high school. Everybody was like, are you guys crazy? You're not teachers. You may have your education, but you're not teachers. And just people just thought we were just...
they tried to talk us out of it.
Opportunity. And they thought we were nuts. Like, this is crazy. Like, what are you guys doing? And to watch our kids not only get through high school, graduate... and get accepted into university, but to hear them actually say, I don't want to go to university. I want to continue this.
Well, I think more in the same vein of that, more though, is that they say they all want to homeschool their kids together. Like, okay.
Wow. That's success when you can when your kids bought into it and said this was a good thing.
Right.
So
he tells the story because some people say, well, why do I have to be specific? Why do I have to be specific with my prayers? And he tells a story of 1,000 years right after Jericho fell. This mm-hmm. is when Jesus is there. And Jesus is on his way out of Jericho when two blind men hail him like a taxi. And they say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The disciples see it as a human interruption. Jesus sees it as a divine appointment. So he stops and responds with a pointed question. What do you want me to do for you? Okay, why is that even a question? He said. Why is that even a question? They're blind. What do you think they want you to do
for him? They want you to give them their sight.
Right. Jesus forced them to define exactly what they wanted from him. He made them verbalize their desire. He made them spell it out, but it was not because Jesus didn't know what they wanted. He wanted to make sure that they knew what they wanted. And that is where drawing prayer circles begins. Knowing what to circle. So he said, if Jesus were to ask you this very same question, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say?
Based on that story, I would want to look at truly the obvious things of my greatest needs.
That's right.
My greatest needs, and not be scared to present that, because he already knows. He already knows. And that's kind of like the point of prayer. Like, he is present and he is listening.
Right.
And the question is still resonating or resounding to all of us. It's still there. The question is what do you need?
He says, don't just read the Bible. Start circling the promises. Mm-hmm. Don't just make a wish. Write down a list of God-glorifying life goals. Don't just pray. Keep a prayer journal. Define your dream. Claim your promise. Spell your miracle. Right. I was like, well, that's a sermon right there.
Right.
Hello. Amen. And it was just like, ugh. So,
can I get an amen?
He said, God does not answer vague prayers. It's not like God says, oh, I don't hear it. I don't hear it. No, I mean, he still answers vague prayers, but it's harder for you to tell what the answer was when the prayer was answered.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real core of that message.
It's harder for you to tell
when your vague prayers are answered.
Right, because they're vague. Right,
exactly.
Right.
So, when it's just like bold, specific, you are, and you know that it's completely out of your reach to achieve, right. You know, okay, well, that is no one but God.
Right, right.
That is no one but God. I mean, this book is just like, it's.
So one of my favorite stories in this book came when he started talking about some modern prayers that were answered. Now, was it him? Did this happen to him, or did this happen to a couple that he knows?
It's a couple that he knows, and okay. He is the pastor of the church. The miracle that okay. You're about to talk about.
Right. So what ended up happening with this couple is that this couple had been wanting to have a child for a long time, and they've been really trying to have a child, and it just wasn't happening for them. And so they prayed to God, and it was like one of those prayers, just like really believing. And of course, he's their pastor, right? So he's sending these kind of messages, much like how we're kind of telling you the message, and there is something going on in your life right now that you're wondering, could this really work? Well, he's preaching this, and they're, you know, resonating with what he's saying, and it's getting them excited, and they're really like claiming it and praying and claiming it that they are going to have this child. Well, she gets pregnant, folks. She gets pregnant, and God speaks to them. Like, you know, they just get this impression, and the Spirit speaks to them and lets them know that their child's name is going to be, is it Jessica? Was it Jessica? I believe it was.
The first name was Todd, or Timothy, I think.
No. The first name was like...
It was Jessica. Well, then, yeah, it was Jessica.
Let's just say it was Jessica anyhow. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, it doesn't matter what the name is. But the first name that they got was Jessica. And so they're just like, yay, all right. You know, we're going to have a girl. All right. Like, that is so awesome. And so let's just say the time was like sometime in April when they got this. And then as time went by, maybe a few months later went by, and they got closer and closer to the due date, they got another name. It's like the Spirit was speaking to them, and they got another name. And now this name was a boy's name. It was like, let's just say Andrew. The name was Andrew. So now they're really confused now. They're really confused because they're just like, what? Like, you know, why did we get Jessica in April? And now it is, let's just say, September, and we are getting, you know, this boy's name. And so they are, so the baby comes, and voila, it actually is a boy. So they named it the boy's name that they got. And after they named it the boy's name, then they were like, but what was Jessica all about? Like, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. Anyhow, several years later, many, many years later, he is dating a girl. And he falls in love with this girl, and he proposes to this girl, and he marries this girl. And what do you think this girl's name is? That's right, Jessica. And the interesting thing about it is that Jessica was born in the very same month, around the exact time that they got the name Jessica. She's in the same year, birth year, as he is. And as she was pregnant and she got the name, and they began to pray for this girl, and they began to pray about her, that they were actually praying not for their daughter, but for their daughter-in-law. And that was just remarkable. It's an that amazing was just miracle. Like, wow, mind blowing.
And he's the pastor of that couple right now.
And he's also the pastor of that couple. So that's just, isn't that amazing? Isn't that just amazing how God works? And I have, and like I told you, that God has answered so many of my prayers. So I resonate with this story in so many ways. And I resonate with this life of prayer because for me, I was a young boy. And as a young boy, I did not grow up praying for a Tonka truck or for a transformer or for the latest, you know, gadget. I actually grew up praying for a wife. It sounds strange, but any opportunity I had, I would be like, oh yeah, God, I want a wife. You know, I want a wife. I used to see my parents, and my parents used to be the type of parents that would like dance in the kitchen, and you know, they would go off and, you know, and always be taking their little love romantic breaks, and we'd, you know, be left, you know, at home, you know, wondering, you know, man, that's just so awesome. Like, I watched a very happy couple. My parents were very happy. They were happy together, and they loved each other. And so for me, the things that I desired especially was marriage, and it became a passion of mine, to the point where part of my passion and my desire that I believe that God has placed in my heart is for families, and it is for my marriage. And so it all like works together. And I remember these prayers were a very big part of my growing up as a young boy. And as I got older, I was, you know, into the sentimentality of, you know, my prayers, even being very poetic, to the point where when I did meet Rita, at the time that I met Rita, I even sang her one of the songs that I had written to God about, you know, marriage and, you know, and the things that could be, that were possible to be for marriage. And she was just so blown away at, you know, the depth of this song and probably my melodious voice, of course. She's like, anyhow.
No, you sounded beautiful.
And so it was wonderful. And I feel the exact same way these people. I mean, maybe I did not get the name Rita. Like, Rita did not come resounding in my ear. But I have seen in my marriage and everything about my marriage that I feel extremely blessed. And I know that it was my prayers, the prayers of my parents, and just prayers in general over this topic, why I have the kind of wife that I have today. I believe that she was God sent, literally God sent to me.
Oh, honey.
And all the my children, and I look at my children, I prayed for my children, and to see the caliber of children, they are just so sweet. They are so loving. They are so God-fearing, so godly. They're just very, very sweet kids. And I attribute that all to prayer. It didn't just happen. You know, sometimes I wonder, like, how did I get children like this? Well, prayer, absolute prayer, because I can't even attribute it to the things that I have done. I don't feel like I can't trace it back to things that I have done that was genius, that I could put in a book and say, okay, so make sure you do this and this and this. The biggest contributing factor, I'm not a deadbeat parent, but I'm just saying the biggest contributing factor that I must contribute it to is prayer. That is the one common denominator that I am almost certain of why I am living a privileged, blessed life today.
That's awesome. So the first circle he's saying to do, or the first step, is to dream big. Dream right. big. Don't and start early. Don't think that, oh, you know, I can't dream this prayer. And don't think that it has to happen, you know, years from now, or just dream big and let God take care of the time. The second thing he says is to pray hard. Praying hard, he said, is just, it's praying through when you feel frustrated, praying through when you feel like it's not working, praying through when you hear bad news on it, praying through it. Just keep going.
Right.
Keep going. And he does talk in the book that there is a time where you get the feeling where, you know what, I got to stop praying and start praising. It's like a higher level of prayer to praise. But what he says is to pray through it. So pray hard.
Right.
And don't be distracted. Don't give up. Because in the Bible, it does talk about the widow who was persistent with Jesus. And he told his disciples that she's an example as right. to how you need to pray, how you need to come to me. Be persistent. Let me know that you have faith. Come to me. And it's like a lot of people give up when they don't get an answer right away. A lot of people give up. Even I like stop praying about something that I haven't seen some movement in for a while. And then I'm like, you know what? What am I doing? I got to pray. And that's why getting a journal and having a vision board and things like that are so good, because even when you want to stop, it's that reminder. It's that reminder that's like, oh, okay, you know what? Let me get back into the rotation right. of this, and let me just make sure I start to pray about it again. The third thing he talks about is think long. Think long, like what I was saying before. Mm-hmm. Your prayers do not die. So even when we die, our prayers don't. Each prayer takes on a life, an eternal life of its own, okay? We talk about how we're still benefiting from the prayers of our parents and our parents' parents and our parents' parents' parents. We are still benefiting. They may not, like maybe my great-great-great-grandmother didn't know anything about Rita, but she prayed for her family. Right. Well, family persists throughout the generations.
Right.
And we are still benefiting. We still benefit from, you know, the prayers of your father who passed and the prayers right. of your grandmother who passed. And,
absolutely.
And I am praying prayers that I know will live on forever.
That's right.
For my own children.
Can you imagine that? There is something that you can do that lives beyond you, and something that is so powerful and that is so influential. Why is it that people don't tap into this more?
I don't know.
You know, tap into that. You are given. And when you pray a prayer with the understanding that this prayer transcends you and that you don't need to see it, that pleases God even more. Because what you're saying is I don't need to see it. I don't need to be there
right.
to see this.
Right.
But I'm praying it right now. So you do whatever your will is, you know. It's sort of like the man in the Bible that was not even a true believer. He was a Gentile, mm-hmm. but he was a believer nevertheless, and he was an officer in the army. And he basically said to Jesus, when Jesus was going to go and to attend to his prayer, he's like, listen, you don't have to actually go there to heal this person.
Mm-hmm. Just say it.
Just say the word. I'm an army officer. When I say the word, things happen. Mm-hmm. So if you are authority over the winds and the waves, if you're authority over the organisms and, you know, and the body and the biology, then you can do something from here. I don't need you to come. You don't have to physically be there. So that is great faith. And so when you pray that kind of selfless prayer and that prayer of faith, it really I think it really puts a smile on God's face, and it says, ooh, wow, this is a person of faith.
Amen. And he says, when we pray, our prayers exit our own reality of space and time, and they have no time or space restrictions, because the God who answers them exists outside of the space and time he created. So think about it like that.
That's right.
Your prayer is divine. It's as divine as God. So then he says, keep circling, meaning just keep going, almost like pray through, keep it going.
Right.
It's like just one step at a time, keep taking whatever you need, keep praying about whatever you need in your life.
Absolutely.
Keep circling things in your life. Don't stop. Don't think you've overwhelmed God. Don't
you really can't.
Yeah. Don't think like, oh, but I've already asked for this. You know what? No. Like, this is God, okay?
Right.
This is, he's not overwhelmed by anything. In fact, he's honored by your requests. He feels like, yes, my children, they acknowledge me, they love me, they know right. that I'm here for them.
And don't feel like, let go of things like trying to influence with your own words or with your own influence. Let that go. Let the power that you think you have with your own words, your own thoughts, your own understanding, let that go. And enter into a new phase of influencing your world around you. You could be a tremendous influence to your family, to your extended family, your children that you no longer have access to. They're no longer little children, but you still want to be a positive influence in their life. Well, don't pick up the phone and give them a lecture. Don't try to use your words and things to move the situation. You can make things worse, and we oftentimes do. But there is a place for you still. And that's where mothers and fathers have such a strong influence in their child's life, far beyond the walls of your own home.
That's right.
On your knees, in your prayer to God, He is hearing and He is answering. And you will get your answer. You will pray for your child, and God will, even if your child doesn't come back to you and tell you what the blessing is, God will find a way for you to hear your prayers being answered, because mm-hmm. He answers prayers.
There's some things in the pipeline that we've been praying about, and we've been drawing our circles about. And I can't wait to share a whole new wave of prayers being answered in those big ways. Absolutely. We've talked about it extensively on this podcast over and over and over again, of all of the blessings and all the prayers answered. And I feel like I want to share when another wave hits, that you guys can see what's happening currently.
But we're more than willing to just keep sharing the ones that have already been answered. Like, for instance, when you were talking, I'm reminded of a prayer that we had, that we would pray and we would talk about it, how we wanted to come back to our hometown, and we wanted
our hometown.
I should say our college town.
Oh,
because,
okay.
Yeah, because like Rita said, my hometown is Toronto, her hometown is LA. But our college town that we met, we wanted to bring our families back to this college town, and we wanted to settle in this college town, but we had no idea how we were going to do it. Financially, we were not in a place where we could do it, and we were fully entrenched and settled in Toronto, Canada. And how God went about bringing us back here is just absolutely incredible. It's just incredible. It's our story, but it's just...
I just get backed into those memories, because I had fought for a long time living in Toronto. I was comfortable in... We were living in New York, and I was just like, you know, I really don't really want to, you know, live in a different country. I don't know. I'm one of those spoiled Americans. Okay. You know, I like Fahrenheit. I like miles. I'm just kidding.
gallons. And
but I just, what happened was, we had lived in Toronto years ago, before, when we first got married. And at the time, this was right before really the internet really took off, right before everybody started getting good phone plans. So I didn't really feel like I could talk to my family, talk to my friends. And so it was a very isolating feeling. So I had always associated with, once I crossed that border, there's like this wall between me and my family, me and my friends, and I felt very isolated. So I fought it for years moving back there. I mean, it made our life very complicated. But on the other hand, there were things that I could not finish with my degree out in Toronto. I had to do it in New York. But when the time came, I was so done with the trajectory of where my life was going in New York that I was like, that's it. I'm Canadian now. Let's head on over there. Let's go. I don't know what this is, a boot. Let's have some, you know, Tim Hortons and some maple syrup. I was like, Myrthel, I am Canadian now. And I told all my friends and family, guys, I am Canadian now, and I'm so happy. And probably 8 months later, we get this,
you got a proposal from your boss.
Yeah.
Was basically saying, you know, could you start this business in
Florida?
And of course, the business did not pan out.
Well, and, no, it could have, but
well,
we,
it didn't,
I chose but not to go ahead with it.
She chose not to go ahead with it. But what I'm saying is, I'm trying to summarize the blessing and how the answered prayer.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, we did not even end up out in the States, in Florida. We didn't even end up out there permanently. We were there for probably a year.
And then we moved to where we really wanted to be, which is
we were
in the South.
And we were now, at the time before, we were like, how would we ever be able to afford to just move there? But now that we were YouTubers, we not only could afford it, but we could literally move anywhere we wanted to mm-hmm. move, because it was sort of like a job that we could do anywhere. And so it's truly amazing. And if somebody had told me in 2015 I would be a YouTuber at full-time and I would be living in the place that we had always said, I would say, you are crazy.
We love being here because it's like a mutual place where we both have very fond memories. This is where we met, and we thought our kids were going to be going to college there. But The blessing has been the community that we are in. We've reconnected with people we haven't seen in years. We've made new friends that we feel like have always been friends for life.
It's really a community for our family.
It's a wonderful spiritual community for us. It's just in every way possible. Right. It's just the perfect place for us. Maybe right. not for you, but for us.
But for us, it's love perfect. It. And it's just, and it was an answered prayer for us. But it was a prayer that was, it seemed impossible because we could not see how we'd get here.
That's right.
Another answered prayer. I remember where I would be at, I would just say something like, God, the next church that I would love to get is this church, you know, and just, you know, what's the chances? The way that our denomination works is that you don't get to select the church that you get to go to, that they kind of make that decision for you. And I was just amazed at the fact that the next church I ended up getting was the very one that I just said in my heart to God, you know, I would really love to pastor this church and just to be able to experience that particular experience, because it was a unique church, and I felt it really resonated with some of the way that God was leading me to be able to minister to mm-hmm. that type of population. And I was just so excited when I got the phone call, and it's just like, we would like you to pastor this church. And I'm just like, what? Like, what is going on here? I remember another time I was sitting there, I was frustrated, and I said to Rita one time, we were lying in bed, I was like, you know, I would love to make money like a waterfall. I mean, I was so fed up with struggling financially, and I had no idea how I was going to do it. I was on pastor salary. I was making pennies, and we were struggling. How were we going to have money like a waterfall? You know, and it's incredible that, you know, the type of income that we're able to make right now, it's very indicative of a prayer that I prayed, you know, even before we even knew about being an entrepreneur and learning about multiple streams of income. But today, it's sort of an answered prayer that we are able to live in this capacity. And so I feel so tremendously blessed. I could just go on and on, not just financial blessings, but material blessings, not just material blessings, but relational blessings, not just relational blessings, but health and God answering prayers with health. It is truly, truly, truly incredible. Almost dying several times from a blood clot and, you know, and just having a miraculous
recovery. Type That's of recovery. For sure. Check out our podcast where we talk about how, you know, what the challenges that we both had where we almost died.
Right. So it's just, I cannot express to you. I mean, if I had my book, I would just start reading down, and I'm just telling you just some that are just flowing off of the top of my head of how gracious I am and how grateful I am to know the power of prayer. And so we're just excited, as the Onyx family, we are just simply excited to now take that prayer life and take it to another level. Not just doing the vision boarding, which we do, and we practice that a lot, and, you know, making sure that we are, you know, watching our words and all of that. But now the circle prayer, we are ready to do circles around all the promises that God has and claim in everything, because we know that God is real and He is amazing. And you truly could experience this experience that we have. This is what the Onyx life is. The Onyx life is, you know, continuing to grow spiritually. So there's never a place where you're just like, oh, I'm done growing spiritually. I'm done growing. No, you're just constantly learning about how you can just truly just be better and better and better and kill the game at every area of life, building financial empires, happy homes, and just really truly enjoying life.
That's right. Well, thanks for listening. Please make sure to leave a rating and review for us, subscribe and share. Join us again Monday through Friday. Show notes are found on theonyxlife.com. Join our Facebook, The Onyx Life. Follow us on Twitter at Rita_Onyx, at Mitch_Onyx, at The Onyx Life, and on Instagram at The Onyx Life Official.
Now go live that Onyx Life, where change comes with challenge. See you next time.